Good morning, everybody. It's good to see your faces. Last Sunday we had it was a worldwide glitch, and I saw that before in February Zoom had 50,000 subscribers. Now they have 300 million. So apparently they had a lot of upgrading to do. So, but anyways, good to see your face. Let's have a word of prayer. We get started with our service. Father, we're thankful for this day. We ask, Lord, you bless all that takes place, Lord. It's good to see our church family, Lord, and we're looking forward to reconnecting as we go forward, Lord, and just we thank you for the good weather today also. In Lord's name, amen. Hey, I'm glad that we're on here again, and I'm looking forward to ministering today, but also looking forward to the day as we get back in the building. I know that after the service, the leadership team is going to stay on. We're going to talk about phases of reopening, things we want to do. Next Sunday, I plan on having my part of this be in the auditorium with the Zoom set up there for me, so kind of get a feel for the church building again. But the building is not the church. We had such a wonderful time on Wednesday night with our midweek motivation. If you haven't joined us, join us. It basically is a interactive discussion. I kind of throw it out there so we can talk a little bit. And I think that's gone good. But I want to share today, one thing I'm convinced of, and all that's going on, and obviously I'm looking forward to the times we no longer are talking about the pandemic we're going through, but I think it's relevant, is that the church is the center stage right now in the world. I observe so much online from others. One thing I've done, during this time, I've been able to read a lot more devotions, listen to podcasts, other ministers, observes how churches are connecting. It was sad to see yesterday a post that a church here in Connecticut, because of all this, is going to be closing their doors permanently after being in ministry for over 100 years. And so that was sad to see. But I think we are center stage, and I think we're setting the right tone and stuff. And But I want to encourage us. I'm going to read out of a passage out of 1 Thessalonians in a second here, but let me set it up because it's relevant to what we're going through. The church of Thessalonica, and Paul's writing this letter to them, and basically they were going through their own kind of issues at that time. There was outside the church persecution. There was inside the church. There was negativity, and there was some grumblings and stuff. And so the Apostle Paul writes to them, and some of the theme has to do with the fact that how we conduct ourselves, and I call this an act as an example, how we conduct ourselves in light of the Lord's return. And basically what Paul is trying to emphasize here, listen, with all you're going through, with all the struggles, with all the persecution, with all this, keep your focus on this, is that one day you're going to be united with the Lord, and everything needs to be in that perspective. And one thing I want to mention too, when you read the Bible, you always have chapter and verse, you have chapter one and all a bunch of verses and stuff. When the scriptures were originally penned down, there were not chapter and verses. These were letters, and there were books in the Bible, but it was put later on in history where someone organized the Bible to be in chapters and verses, mainly for memorization techniques, mainly for context a little bit. But sometimes the context does not really come clear when you read the Bible, because sometimes we read one verse, we don't read the other verses around that, and we don't get the full context. So I want you to keep that in mind as I read what I'm going to read today. And this is the Apostle Paul's instructions. And in the passage here, sometimes scripture is written for the whole community, the world, and sometimes scripture is pinpointed right to those of the Christian faith. And in the passage we're going to read, it says brothers and sisters a couple of times, which means Paul is actually talking to those that are out of the faith. Those are the Christian body, the brothers and sisters in Christ. So these are admonitions, and these are encouragements, and these are directions given to those of us in the faith, and especially those of us connected to an actual church, because this was an actual local church that he's writing to. And so he writes this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11 through 18. He says, therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as, in fact, you are doing. Now we ask, brothers and sisters, to acknowledge those who work hard among you, who care for you in the Lord, and who admonish you. Hold them in highest regard and love because of the work. Live peace with each other. And that's with reference to, obviously, holding up those that are in the pastoral ministry and caring for the flock. Verse 14 through the 18 is really what I want to focus on. He says, and we urge you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle and disruptive, encourage the disheartened, help the weak, be patient with everyone. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always strive to do what is good for each other and for everyone else. But then the last three verses we're going to read here, 16, 17, 18, I want you to kind of close your mind to the fact that they're individual verses. Obviously, the verse number 16 is another short verse. The shortest verse in the Bible is in the book of John, Jesus wept. This is the second shortest verse, but these really run together and they have a connection to them, and that's what I want to focus on. It says in verse 16, it says, rejoice always. Verse 17, pray continually. And verse 18, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of you in Christ Jesus. And what I want you to focus on there is get rid of the numbers 16, 17, and 18. And really the context of this is this, that rejoice always because you're continually praying and you're continually giving thanks. And then he closes out, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. They're going through a struggle and they're going through some challenging times. There were some disruptions inside the body, inside the church itself, but they're also dealing with outward persecution. During these times, there were many that were trying to halt or stop the movement of Jesus Christ. And during these times, he actually gives this whole thing in verse 11 through 18 about how to treat one another in the faith. He talks about how that we need to build each other up. He talks about the fact that we need to care for those and really, you know, honor those who are in leadership, which we've always done. But then he gets in this idea that, you know, help the weak, be patient with everybody. And this is good instruction for us. Pay back nobody wrong for wrong, but always strive to do what's good for everyone. And then he closes out and he says, I want you to rejoice always, because if you're in a prayerful attitude and you're continuously given thankful, and then he closes there with, in any circumstance, he says, this is what I want you to do. And I have found this, that when I get down, when I get frustrated, when I get discouraged, or I get even upset or whatever, I find that my prayer life is greatly connected to my attitude and my perspective. And so when I think about this idea of rejoice, he's talking about having an attitude of rejoicing. When I think about praying continuously, praying helps us to keep heavenly focus. And when I talks about giving thanks in all circumstances, it's your perspective. And what I want to encourage is this here. We're going through these difficult times, these challenging times and stuff, but the way to make sure that we're continuously giving thanks and having that right perspective and that we're continually able to rejoice in the Lord is make sure that our prayer life is totally in connection with God's will. In fact, close out here, this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus, that you do these things. And so what I think about here, about this idea, and I started off with act as an example. The world is watching us. The world is observing how churches do things here. Is I think this, what we're being looked at and we're being maybe judged or discerned about how that we react to tough times. How we react to tough times is a testimony breaker or a maker. When we go through our personal struggles, and I enjoy what Greg shared in his testimony a little while ago, but we go through our personal struggles, how we handle those things there is going to be a testimony to the world around us. And I've seen it. I've seen frustrations. I've been on Zoom meetings with other groups and stuff, and I hear in the voices of frustrations. And it's hard. It's not always easy. I'm frustrated like you are. I'm looking forward to getting past these days and stuff. But I also understand that as I talk to my neighbors or I talk to the community or I'm out in public as much as I can, is how I respond is going to set a testimony for the Lord or not set a testimony for the Lord. So I'm encouraged by the Apostle Paul is to rejoice always, which means always have a spirit of joy. Always realizing this is that this is just a temporary situation. And I truly believe this is another attitude thing, is that in the midst of this, and we talked a little bit about this on our midweek motivation, that God's going to do something even greater through this. I'm convinced that once we're able to get back into our regular mode and stuff, we're going to probably continue Zoom. I'm looking forward maybe to having Zoom at, during our service, when we're all in our building back going again. That way when folks can't be there, they can pipe in and see what's going on. But I really believe that our attitude of joy and of peace and of understanding that God is in the midst of this, he hasn't gone anywhere, is a great testimony for the community out there. How we treat each other is vital to the testimony out there. Right now, I think what we've seen the last couple of months is we've seen a more friendly society. We've taken walks every single day, and I can't believe how nice people are. Everybody's saying hi. That wasn't the case, you know, before this. But there's such a friendly atmosphere. But at the same time, is that there's also tension. And tension sometimes brings out, whether you're in a workplace or whatever, struggles. I know that talking to some teachers and stuff, that parents have been somewhat tense with the teachers because it's very difficult for them to now be at home schooling their kids at the same time, working their jobs, those things there. But I believe a testimony maker or breaker is how we treat each other as the body of Christ. And I got to compliment our church. We really drawn closer through this. But then I think about this idea, he says, you pray continually. And I think it has to do with the tone of our prayers. It's easy right now to pray and really complain. But I really think what God wants to hear from us is a positive thing that, God, we know you're doing something through this. God, we know that it's even going to be greater once we're back in our building. God, we're anticipating better things ahead. In fact, I learned one thing about these times of struggles and stuff. Usually what we learn during these times, we adapt into what we do in the future, and it makes us even better ministers going forward. So I just wanted to share that with you today, is that, you know, we need to act as an example to our community. We're going to talk after service with our leadership team. We're going to talk about a reopening phases and stuff. We're going to try to get prepared to do that. But I also want to make sure that as we go forward, and here's why I'm saying this. You know, we took a survey, and I got the results of the survey, and it's pretty much what I expected. Thank you for, you know, over 30 or 35 people that responded. The key thing is that when we begin to reopen, there's going to be tension. There's going to be agreement, disagreement, whatever, how we do things. It's either going to be a time for us to shine or fall on our faces. And I just want to encourage all of us, remember this. It's a process with an end result of uniting the church once again together and opening doors to the community to be able to get more people to come in. How we treat each other and how we have that spirit of rejoicing, how then we have that spirit of peace and joy in our heart is going to be very attractive to those out there that are seeking. Because people are seeking right now to have connection. You know, when I thought about this a couple months ago, everything closed. A lot of our social engagement has been with going to the gym. That's been closed. We've been going to restaurants. They've been closed. All of our social interaction has been somewhat taken away from us. The church is going to be able to set an example about how that we can be welcoming and we can be focused and how that we can be united. And I believe that that's going to be an attractive thing to those that are going to be seeking. Because I truly believe that when this is all said and done, I believe churches are going to be checked out. I believe that people are going to come visit churches. I think people have gone through this time and they realize they need that connection. Kids that basically before this we were at school and they had the social connection, and school's not coming back to September, and we're hoping it comes back by September, they're going to be looking for places for their children to go and have social connection with other kids. And I think the place that's going to stand out above them all is going to be the local church on the corner where they all live. And I think it's a great opportunity for us. So I want to encourage those last things. Rejoice always, pray continuously, give thanks in all circumstances, no matter what. And I like that last thing that Paul put said, this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. It's not our will, but our will based upon the fact of our life in Christ Jesus. So I wrote a little thing here. It's our time to shine. And I'm looking forward to that as we go forward. So I hope these words of encouragement helped you. I'm encouraged, and join us on Midweek Motivation, and we'll keep this going. But I appreciate you all. I'm excited about what the future holds, and I think it's going to be bigger and better. So let's go forward. So